With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode of Canada Land is brought to you by the Center for Addiction and Mental Health, CAMH. There is an incredible facility right here in downtown Toronto that is helping on the front lines and is doing incredible innovative research. They are a facility that treats everybody with dignity, and they need your help. May 6th to 12th is Mental Health Week. If this matters to you, help CAMH. There's no better place for your resources. Go to camh.ca/CanadaLand and donate now. Help CAMH treat addiction and build hope.
Is this Kim Campbell?
It is indeed.
And how do you like to be called?
I think Ms. Campbell is sort of a nice mid-ground between Prime Minister, which I'm not anymore, and Kim, which might be a little familiar given we don't really know each other.
We don't know each other at all. We've tweeted a couple of times.
And I'm not even going to bring up your motley history, of which I'm not approving. But anyway, I do know that in general, you do try to do good things. So here I am.
Okay. I won't bring it up either then. And we'll go with Ms. Campbell, because right honorable is a mouthful. And it's not like America where you say president forever, right? Like, it's okay.
Well, I'm the Right Honorable Kim Campbell for life. It's a title that I keep for life, but it's that and $3 will buy you a latte.
Ms. Campbell, where are you right now, and what do your...
I'm in Vancouver.
Okay. Tell me what you're looking at right now. Like, what are your immediate surroundings?
I'm sitting on my sofa looking at the fireplace in my very pretty little apartment in Vancouver with a lovely landscape painting by the Saskatchewan artist Louise Cook hanging above the fireplace, a very pretty autumn landscape.
What is the strangest thing that you've done today?
Well, I don't know if there's anything strange I've done today.
Lately.
When I flew home from Paris, the business class cabin, I think there might have been three people in it. There were no drinks or anything. I mean, I don't drink alcohol on a plane, but, all we got was bottled water and little boxed meals, and our flight attendants were masked and in gloves, as they should be. But it was quite surreal. It was a very odd experience.
What is the most selfish thing that you've done during this ordeal?
I bought myself an ice cream maker.
What's been your most successful frozen treat?
I just made an interesting one with a yogurt that was flavored with orange blossom and cardamom.
Orange blossom and cardamom, that's an interesting pairing. I like that.
It was actually quite nice.
Outside of the frozen yogurt, what's something that's given you pleasure today?
It's a small pleasure, but I am so lucky that when I get into bed at night, it is a luxurious experience. I don't need fancy stuff, but a lovely, comfortable bed with crisply ironed sheets has got to be one of the great pleasures of life. When I get up in the morning, I make my bed right away.
You're in your apartment by yourself and you make your bed every morning. It's a little weird.
First of all, my bed, I have a bottom sheet, a top sheet, and a duvet. So I get up, I fix my top sheet, I wrinkle my duvet, I fluff it up, and I arrange the pillows carefully. But here's my secret treat. Because I'm here by myself, my husband is in Italy, I can't do this when we're together, but when it's just me in our queen-size bed, I'm only sleeping on one half of the bed. So I like to change my sheets every week. What I do is, after a week, I take the bottom sheet and I rotate it 180 degrees, so that the clean side is now on my side. I turn the top sheet over, and I have four pillows on my bed, two on each side. And when I go to sleep at night, I take the two on the other side, and I just put them on a chair. And after a week, I exchange the sets of pillows. So after a week, I'm sleeping on nice, clean sheets, or at least half of them wasn't slept on the week before, and I have fresh pillows. So that way, I get 2 weeks out of one set of sheets. And I think that if that isn't a philosophy of constructive laziness, I don't know what is.
All right. I'm learning that we're very different people. I'm learning in this conversation. What is something that you feel or think might never be the same after this pandemic?
I hope that people's sense of what labor is valuable. You know, I think since the time in the last couple of decades when finance and financial manipulation has provided totally outsized rewards to people who then incidentally did not bear any of the burden of the bad judgments that they have made, that we have come to have a very bizarre sense of how we should reward people in society. And I think, and it's not just the healthcare professionals who are amazing. And, you know, in Italy, you know, more than 70 doctors have died. And incidentally, more than half the doctors are women, but you never see them on the TV. That's a whole other story. So one of the things I hope will be different is that maybe women will be higher visibility given more proportionate to the contributions they're making. But all of the kinds of labor that go into making life possible, you know, the fact that people are in the office, the fact that people are working from home, the fact that people are doing their best to provide services, and you suddenly realize, gosh, you really need them. The people who are delivering my groceries, I'm so grateful. I think we need to rejig our sense of what it takes to make a society function. And yes, innovation and brains and smarts are very important. But I think at the end of the day, we just need to remind ourselves that to be properly rewarded for your labor is important. And, you know, I'm a child of the Scottish Enlightenment, and I'm a great fan of Adam Smith, who is totally misconstrued and misrepresented. Adam Smith, who talked about the value of the market, and he's quite true, the invisible hand, the value of millions of decisions that go into providing optimal use of things. But Adam Smith was a moralist, and he no more believed in unregulated markets than he believed in highway robbery. And if you read his books, he talks about the importance that the person who provides the services to other people and makes it possible for people to live well, that person also is entitled to live well, is also entitled to have food on the table and a roof over their head and to provide for their families. He was the opposite of a rapacious person. And I wish that I could say that things are going to be different after. I fear they might not be. I mean, I think my biggest fear is that not enough will change and that not enough lessons will be learned. So people like you who are having conversations and talking about things, everybody who has a bully pulpit needs to think about what is the social and moral impact of the conversations they're having. So do I think is going to be different? I guess my short answer would be probably not enough.
On the one hand, we could go for austerity and say that governments have been stressed and pushed financially and everyone's going to have to tighten their belts and we could encounter it that way. Or rather than just simply say, oh, isn't it wonderful and brave of these people and I finally appreciate the person who delivers my food and cleans my house, give them some guaranteed dignity and commit to policy, right? It's left or right, isn't it? I have to ask of a former conservative prime minister.
Well, you know, I think that's an unhelpful depiction because sometimes people on the left are as intolerant and difficult as people on the right. I consider myself a centrist. I'm a realist. But, you know, I think for me, the most important thing for people in public life is to constantly be learning and growing and trying to understand. And, you know, recently, you know, Finland, a very interesting research out of Finland, which provided a guaranteed income to people. And what they found was it did not create a disincentive to work. In fact, if anything, participation in the labor force grew. You know, people are so worried about what they think are the undeserving poor, that they're going to get something from me. And people who are totally oblivious to the role that luck and good fortune plays in them, you know, you talk about tightening your belt, you know, some people don't have any more holes in their belt. And other people, you know, need to buy a bigger belt before they can tighten one. And we need, you know, as I say, the notion that these fortunes that were earned in finance somehow reflect any kind of meritocracy or value or contribution to society, I just find that hard to swallow. So if that makes me a lefty, I don't know. I think it makes me a realist and an Adam Smith person and a child of the Scottish Enlightenment. That's who I am.
That works. I resist being labeled one or the other or being told that you have to choose a path, but it does feel increasingly like something's got to give and the two sides are getting clearer as we come out of this.
Yeah. And you know, I think one of the greatest human virtues is kindness. And if you look at there are so many unkind people, because kindness involves a capacity to be empathetic and a desire to cherish people and a desire for people to be happy and in whatever that requires. And I guess that's my ideology, is that kindness matters.